It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download, where we're featuring new programming on the Radio Theater Channel. This time, we'll give you a taste of the Radio Now and Then program put on by Bob Drake. And this is an interesting show, so we'll play that for you, and we'll follow that up with a Jack Benny program. King County.
Well, greetings, anybody. This is Bob Drake, your host for Radio Now and Then, that hour-long giggle fest courtesy of the Radio Entertainment Network. On today's show, you will get the usual array of radio outtakes and air checks and commercials from the past and snippets of radio shows. Before our featured radio show, you'll be hearing an episode of Aramis Brooks. So sit back, relax, and enjoy Radio Now and Then. And if anyone walks up and asks you why you're listening to this, simply tell them,
"Well, I don't know what radio's coming to, but I know where it's been."
Hey, what's the matter with you this morning, Colonel, anyway?
Well, son, see, I was up late last night working on my latest experiment.
What's your experiment?
Well, son, see, I tried to cross a turkey with an ostrich.
Turkey with an ostrich?
Right.
And what for?
I'm trying to develop bigger drumsticks,
right,
you know.
That sounds pretty good. Was it a success?
Well, son, no, it was a dismal failure.
Well, what happened?
Oh, well, son, all I got was a scrawny bird who insisted on hiding his head in the mashed potatoes.
Come on, here's the elevator. Up, 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 up. That's enough. Up, 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 up. Cut it out. Have you tried baking soda?
Look, never mind that.
All right, folks, step lively. Get a move on. Plenty of room on the second layer.
Are you going up?
Yeah. What's up, Doc? What's cooking that you?
Costello, look, it's Bugs Bunny. Hey, Bugs. What are you doing running an elevator?
Well, I'm replacing a woman that's essential, Doc.
Come on, stop wasting time. Get us up there.
Okay, Doc. Come on up. Go up too fast for your pants, Hill?
No, I always wear my pants at half mast.
Bugs, will you please let us out?
Okay, Doc. Eighth floor, chewing gum, chocolate bar, sweet cream, butter, T-bone steaks, and other picture postcards.
Yeah, but I'm going to murder this rabbit.
No, don't pay any attention to him.
Income tax to fill out.
Income tax? Well, that's right down my uppie. Archie, would you like to reduce your taxes?
Reduce my taxes? Certainly.
Then here, take a look at my latest invention.
Your invention? What do you call it?
The Tactual Q Reducer Nagel. The greatest little machine I ever invented. Cut your taxes 80%.
Look, Colonel, not that I doubt your insanity, but how can a little machine like that reduce your taxes?
You doubt me? Let me read you some testimonials. Listen to this one. Mr. Henry Morgenthau, dear sir, since the invention of the reducer Nagel, many people have reduced their taxes by 80%. Signed, Colonel Soupnagel.
Let me see that. Hey, you're right. It's addressed to Morgenthau, all right.
Yes, Archie, and not only that, the reducer Nagel carries a written guarantee.
Written guarantee, huh?
Yep, here it is. I, Colonel Soupnagel, hereby guarantee that if my invention does not reduce your income tax by 80%, signed Colonel Stupnagel.
Guy couldn't ask for no more than that, could he?
I love Bacco. It's rich in chocolate tea. Chocolate flavored Bacco is mighty good for me. Mama puts it in my milk for extra energy. Bacco gives me iron and sunshine vitamin D. Oh, I love Bacco.
Some think that kids should be in bed by 7, so do I, and so do I. But Marvin won't go to bed before 11. He starts to cry, and so do I. One time, I thought I'd try to slip a Mickey into his juice, his orange juice. I tried, but oh, that kid is really tricky. He switched the glass, so what's the use? Marvin, Marvin, you're a rotten kid. Marvin, Marvin, be like your brother Sid. I'm getting gray, so go away. Now just for once do what I say. Go and play in traffic, don't come back till Saturday. Some think that raising kids is so bucolic. I always did, I really did. With Marvin, I could become an alcoholic. I almost did, but he's my kid. We bought a car for him to ride to school in, a Jaguar. Is that bizarre? Then he insisted that we put a pool in, not in the yard, but in the car. Such a sin, it's such a crime. You're just so rotten all the time. I wish that I could tell you, but I wouldn't get a dime. Some think that kids today are awfully thankless. You ask me why, I'll tell you why. This stems from the fact today that kids are spankless, and yet they cry. Oh, how they cry. We try to buy him everything we're able. We bought him clothes, a brand new nose. Marvin, get out from underneath that table. Your brand new nose just ripped my hose. Marvin, Marvin, you're a rotten kid. Marvin, Marvin, look at what you did. Don't break my heart, do as you're told. You know your mommy hates to scold.
We started things out with an air check, then you heard Bugs Bunny on the Abbott and Costello Show. That was followed by a Pillsbury commercial that was actually a takeoff on the old Grand Central Station radio show opening. Then you heard a bit on taxes off the Duffy's Tavern show, a Bosco commercial, and last but not least, Christine Nelson, not Chris Nelson, former wife of Ricky Nelson, but Christine Nelson singing about her son Marvin. You're listening to Radio Entertainment Network, and now it's time for the Radio Now and Then calendar events, thing fun-wise happening for the next week. Today is the anniversary of the start of the feud between the Hatfields and the McCoys. This happened on 1882 up in Appalachia. And it is also particularly preposterous packaging day. That is a day where you sit there and say, I hate it when I have to try to get into a bottle of aspirin or open a CD case. It just takes you 5 minutes to do anything with the thing. So anyway, that's a day to ruminate about that. On August 8th, it is the Date to Create Day. That's where you can sort of show your innovations, as it were. And it is Kool-Aid Day. That mix was created in Hastings, Nebraska on this date. On August 9th, it's Eleanor Roosevelt Day and Elvis Week. On the 10th, Candid Camera, successor to Radio's Candid Mic, premiered on this date in 1948. And it is Weird Contest Week in Ocean City, New Jersey. I like to see this because they have all kinds of crazy contests, like they have saltwater taffy and French fry sculpting contests. They have a wet t-shirt tossing contest. They have a thing where they take a little pie and you bite around the outside and whatever's left is supposed to look like something. So that's a few of the crazy things that are going on in New Jersey. On the 11th, it's the anniversary of Beatles National Apple Week. This happened originally back in 1968 when they launched their Apple record company. And it is Independence Day in Chad. On the 12th, home sewing machines were first invented in 1851, and the IBM personal computer was introduced in 1981. On the 13th, it is National Underwear Day and Independence Day in Central Africa. Birth dates include Mata Hari and Stan Freberg on the 7th. On the 8th, actor Frederick March and Esther Williams. On the 9th, Amanda Burse. She's the next-door neighbor on Married with Children. And basketball famer Bob Cousy. On the 10th, Ian Anderson of the rock group Jethro Tull and Jimmy Dean, singer slash sausage king. On the 11th, Mike Douglas, talk show host, and Arlene Dahl. On the 12th, Cecil B. DeMille and Jane Wyatt. And on the 13th, Alfred Hitchcock and Annie Oakley. So that's for you the things happening throughout this week, courtesy of the Radio Entertainment Network. And now it's time once again for The Story Lady.
And now, boys and girls, it's time once again for The Story Lady.
Once upon a time, there was a poor shoemaker who could no longer repair shoes fast enough or good enough to support himself. One night, as the shoemaker slept, some tiny elves came to his shop and spent all night busily repairing shoes. When the shoemaker awoke, to his amazement, he found all his work done, and every night for the next 2 months, the same thing happened. Just as the old shoemaker began to regain his health and become prosperous, a union organizer showed up and opened collective bargaining on behalf of the elves, who demanded retroactive triple overtime for working at night, plus medical and dental benefits, and a full-pay retirement pension plan. There was only one thing the shoemaker could do. He brought in automation and is now giving Florsheim and Tom McCann a run for their money.
Thank you, Story Lady. Be listening next time, boys and girls, when the Story Lady will tell you about the naughty boy who blew up his goldfish.
So much, really. Oh, thank you.
It is time now for Crime Fighters Notice.
Hello?
Is this the A1?
A1 Police Service, good morning.
Yes, sir. I've been trying to get a hold of you all morning.
Yeah?
This is Don Imus over at WGAR, and I have a friend here with me that would like to, that has a couple of questions he'd like to ask you. Do you know anything about ammunition, or do you sell ammunition?
Well, we sell ammunition.
You sell ammunition. All right, what he wants is a silver bullet. A silver-coated bullet, actually, is what it is.
You don't mean silver, sir?
Yeah, he thinks it. Winchester, he says, makes it.
Winchester? Winchester makes a silver bullet.
Yeah. Is it solid silver? It's a solid silver bullet. Stanley, did I tell you we were talking on the radio?
No.
Yeah, yes, we are. We have a program here at GAR called Crime Fighter's Notebook.
Yeah.
And we have guest stars come in every morning, and boys and girls call. And then we make calls and stuff about crime. And this morning we're calling about ammunition.
Well, and you're the only them, place. I've never heard of silver.
You've never heard of a silver bullet?
No. Magnesium?
It's never, just a second. Pardon me, just a second. He's never heard of a silver bullet. Uh-huh. He's been using them for years, he says.
Does he have one?
Do you have any with you? Yeah, he's got a couple.
Could he bring one down?
Well, do you think? Could you take one down? I'll tell you, he'd really rather not, because he's got a little problem. He wears a mask, you see, because of a serious disfiguration, and you're going to think I'm crazy, but every time he goes someplace, why? People think that he's going to hold him up. Isn't that hilarious?
Uh-huh.
Possibly he could have his Indian friend stop down.
Indian friend?
Yeah. Do you think if he brings a silver bullet down, you could make some for him?
Well, yeah, then I'd know what dimensions.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a silver...
What?
Silver bullet?
Yeah.
I never heard
Well, he uses them all the time, he says, and he expects a lot of trip trouble, and he may be...
rather expensive?
He pays a buck a piece for him.
A buck a piece?
Yeah. Why don't I have him stop down? Okay?
Yeah, just bring down the bullet or something.
You want him to stop down? You won't think he's going to hold you up, will you?
Well, listen. Let me do this.
All right.
Let me spend about 2 hours and wait till Winchester's office in New York opens.
Yeah, fine.
I'll call them, okay. And they'll call me back, and I'll call you back.
Okay. Well, listen, I may not be here, so ask for him. 696-1220.
696, what was that again?
696-1220.
Mm-hmm. And the name?
The Lone Ranger.
Everyone I run into.
Charlie, I don't like to pry into your business or appear inquisitive.
Since when?
Well, but there's a little matter that I'd like to speak to you about.
Well, you have to excuse me, Bergen. I've got to rinse out a few things.
No.
What is it?
Well, it's a luncheon check from our hotel dining room.
Yeah?
Yes. And it's for $9.85.
No.
Yes. And it's all for confections and desserts.
So imagine that. That's extravagance.
Yes, it is. But it's worse than that. Someone has been forging my name.
Yeah?
Yes.
Hmm.
Actually, yes.
That sort of thing is annoying.
Yes, it is. Yes, it certainly is.
Well, how did you get... Well, I mean, what makes you think so?
Well, I'll tell you. I want you to notice this very sloppy, uneven scrawl.
Uh-huh. It is messy, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Now, that proves that was either written by a child or some illiterate person.
Well, either one of us could be guilty there, could
you? Yeah. And I want you to notice what the culprit ate. Parfaits, baked Alaska, and frappes.
Yeah.
Three orders of crepes, who's that?
And the wrong glacé.
Oh, I see, yes.
Yeah.
It's a wonder that he doesn't feel pretty upset by this time and have a stomach that's in pretty bad shape.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, excuse me.
Yes, yes. Tell me, Charlie.
Yes, Mr. Bates.
How do you feel?
Well, I would say that I feel fine.
You do?
Yes, you see, I feel better now.
Yes. Charlie, this isn't going to end up with you being found guilty, is it?
Mr. Bergen, I certainly hope not.
Yes. Well, I think, Charlie, you've stalled long enough. What have you got to say?
Well, Mr. Bergen, I cannot tell a lie.
You can't.
And get away with it.
No. Do you realize, Charlie, that signing someone else's name is forgery?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to travel the road to ruin?
How are the accommodations?
They're very bad.
It's out then.
Yes. I can't understand what makes you do these things.
Not did I. Mr. Bergen, I am a growing boy.
Yes, I know.
Adolescence, they call it.
Yes.
And you have to be patient. It requires understanding. You see, I'm trying to find myself.
You are?
Yes. And don't think I ain't having fun.
No. Well, you've been guilty of many pranks before.
Oh, that I have.
But never, never did I ever think you'd go as far as forgery.
Well, you know, they say, if you don't progress, you retrogress.
Yes, that's quite true.
Yeah.
That's all very well and good, young man, but I suppose you know what's in store for you.
I can hope.
Yes. It's no choice, young man. It's a real spanking.
Mr. Bergen, they say when you resort to spanking a child, you have failed as a parent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what they say.
Yes. It's just what they say, of course.
Yes.
I'm not trying to force anything.
I know. Very well, then. No spanking.
Oh, thank you. This was easier than I expected.
Yes. Instead, you will be confined to your rooms for our entire stay in New York.
But, Bergen...
Think it over, young man. Think it over.
Well, this is incarceration without representation.
Yes. I'll talk to you later. Now, goodbye and stay in your room.
That's it.
To a steadily diminishing number of requests. Thanks once again for being here. I really appreciate it. This is a great way to... This is the last, second to last show of this tour, this leg of the tour, which has been a hard one, I tell you. And this is a great way to go out. Believe me, I love being here. I love you people, and I truly mean that. I love it. I love it, and I'll be back as soon as I can. Hope I've answered all your questions. There is one question, however, one question that remains unanswered, and that's, what if the Beatles were Irish?
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade sky. Suddenly someone appears at the turn to let go and collide and go by. Cellophane flowers of yellow and green towering over your head. Look for the girl with the sun in her eyes and she's gone, gone. Hallucinating the sky with diamonds. Hallucinating the sky with diamonds. Hallucinating the sky with diamonds. Think you lost your love? Well, I saw her yesterday. It's you she's thinking of. She told me what to say. She loved you, and you know that can't be bad. She loved you, and you know you should be glad. Ooh, glad. Ooh. Words are flying out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither as they pass. They slip away across the universe. Help! I need somebody help. Not just anybody help. You know I need someone. I look at the world and I notice it's turning. Why my guitar gently weeps? With every mistake we must surely be learning. Why my guitar gently weeps? Someday you'll look to see I've gone. But tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. Follow the sun, follow the sun. There's a fog upon LA and my friends have lost their way. We'll be over soon, they say, but they've lost themselves instead. Michel, ma belle, Sunday morning, qui bon, très bien, ma tante. La, 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 la. Hey, Jude, hey, Jude, hey, you gotta hide your love away. Hey, you gotta hide your love away.
Number 9.
All the lonely people, how do they all belong? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? Dublin. Picture yourself in a plane in a straight with blasting borders with looking glass ties. Suddenly someone appears at the turnstile like a wicked lightning go by. Newspaper taxis appear on the shore waiting to take you away. Climb in the back with your head in the clouds and you're gone, gone. Everybody sing now. Lucy in the sky with diamonds. Lucy in the sky. Excellent. Lucy in the sky with diamonds. Sing it for me, mother up in heaven.
And that was Roy Zimmerman with his imaginary idea of what the Beatles would have sounded like if they came from Ireland. I think that's hilarious. That was recorded live in Seattle, Washington. Before him, you heard a snippet of the Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy show. And then ahead of that, you heard Don Imus doing one of his funny phone calls. Then Martin Mull and his dueling tubas, his answer to dueling banjos, as it were. And at the start of this segment, the Story Lady, as usual. You're listening to Radio Now and Then. We'll be back after these messages.
You'll hear nothing but the best, all day, every day, on the Radio Theater Channel.
Welcome back to Radio Now and Then, and now it's time for our feature performer. It is Eve Arden in an episode of Our Miss Brooks. It's titled The Green Alligator Bag from October 24th of 1958.
Palm Olive Soap, your beauty hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous dream girl hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. Miss Brooks teaches English at Madison High School. She's very fond of her pupils, and they're very fond of her. She's also very fond of biology teacher Philip Boynton, and he's very fond of his frogs and guinea pigs. Well, this absorption in his laboratory is largely due to Mr. Boynton's natural shyness. Well, that is to say that he's shy in the world of reality. But in the dreams of Our Miss Brooks, Philip Boynton is every bit as ardent and attentive as any woman could desire. Let's listen.
Oh, my darling Constance. You're so lovely, so desirable. I feel I could fly on the wings of our love. Won't you join me, Constance, on a flight to paradise?
Contact.
I must pause for a moment, my darling. You know why?
For station identification.
I want to look at you again before I kiss you. And if you notice anything strange in my eyes, dearest, it's stardust.
Well, sweep it under your lids and let's get going.
Oh, isn't it wonderful, Connie? Just you and I alone in our dream house.
Yes, it is, Philip. And if anyone comes calling, we'll refuse to answer the doorbell. Sorry, wrong number. Okay, alarm clock. Oh, you win. Quiet. If I could have slept a few more minutes, that dream might have gotten the Academy Award. Come in.
Good morning, Connie.
Good morning, Mrs. Davis.
I've brought you a little breakfast tray. Hope you like the surprise recipe on it.
Another surprise recipe? I'm still trying to get used to the last one. Rye crisp boiled in breadcrumbs.
Oh, this isn't anything like that, Connie. This is a famous Alaskan dish. Want to know what it consists of?
No, what?
It's very simple. You just take a pound of frozen whale meat, thaw it out, roll into patties, and fry in deep seal fat.
What do you call this Eskimo's delight?
Blubber burger.
Blubber burger?
Yes. Of course, not everyone can enjoy them at first eating. How do you stand on the whale meat, honey?
I really don't know, Mrs. Davis. I've never stood on any. It was nice of you to bring a tray into my room, Mrs. Davis, but I'd rather have breakfast out here in the dinette with you.
Oh, thank you, Connie, but you haven't had a thing but a glass of milk.
I know, you can't fry that. That is, I didn't feel very hungry.
Oh, that's too bad. Today of all days.
What's so special about today?
Don't you know?
Let's see. Oh, certainly. Yesterday was payday, so today must be rent day. What do I owe you, Mrs. Davis?
I'm not worried about the rent, Connie, although I could use a small loan.
How much?
Well, $5 would do nicely. It's for a donation I promised the Ailing Newsboys Fund.
All right, Mrs. Davis, I can let you have $5.
You sure you won't miss it?
No, I won't miss it. The people I owe the payment on my car might miss it, but I'll take care of that later. I've had my eye on a bag in Justin's department store, and I've decided to throw caution to the winds and buy it this afternoon.
The one you told me about, green alligator skin?
That's the one. Of course, I'll have to postpone a lot of my time payments. The car, my coat, the watch I bought for Mr. Boynton, but it's worth it. Wait till you see that bag, Mrs. Davis.
But what about your creditors? What will you tell them?
I'll write them all polite letters.
Letters? What will you say?
Oh, I'll think of something. I'm an English teacher, ain't I? I mean, aren't I? Am I not?
You certainly must have your heart set on that bag.
Oh, I have. Do you think Mr. Boynton will like it? He likes frogs and lizards and things.
Then this alligator bag ought to be right up his alley.
Lucky alligator bag to be up an alley with Mr. Boynton. Oh, that must be Walter Denton. He's giving me a lift to school. I'll be there in a minute, Walter.
Is your car in the repair shop again, Connie?
Yes, the garage says they just have to get one more part for the car before I can drive it again.
What part is that?
A motor. Only if I'm... Hello, Walter. Come in.
Thanks, Miss Brooks. I just came in to tell you to be sure and bring a coat with you this morning. It's colder than a schoolteacher's heart out. I mean, some schoolteachers' hearts, Miss Brooks. You're a warm one.
Thanks, Walter. You can butter me up on the way to school. I'll go get a coat. I'll just be a few minutes.
Did someone let that cat in again?
It's me, Mrs. Davis.
Oh, Walter, I'm glad you came in. We've got to make arrangements for the surprise party.
Does she know it's her birthday?
No, just like last year. She's forgotten about it completely.
Well, then the party will go over that much bigger. Did you find out what she wants?
Yes, I did, Walter. It's a green bag in Justin's, but she's threatened to buy it for herself.
Oh, that's no good.
I know. So I thought up this scheme. If we all borrow some money from her, she won't be able to buy it. Then we can give it to her for a present. I'll call the Conklins and tell them to be sure and borrow something from Miss Brooks when she gets to school.
Good. She's so soft-hearted, she'll never turn anybody down, as long as there's a hard luck story with it. And I'll put the bite on her and, I'll borrow something on our way to school.
Here she comes. I'll go back into the kitchen. I don't want her to think we've been conspiring.
Okay, Mrs. Davis.
Well, that wasn't such a long wait, was it, Walter?
Oh, not at all, Miss Brooks. Gosh, that's a nice coat. When did you buy that?
Within the next 18 months. Let's hurry, Walter. I couldn't touch a morsel of Mrs. Davis's breakfast. I'd like to get a bite on our way.
Don't worry, you will.
Our Miss Brooks will continue in just a moment, but first, here is Vern Smith with an important announcement. Palmolive Soap is giving away prizes worth $67,000, a grand prize of $25,000 in one lump sum, or $100 a month for life. And that's not all. There are over 2,000 prizes in Palmolive's big treasure chest contest. Ford sedans, Westinghouse laundromats, from Silver Fox scarves, Toastmaster toasters, and it's easy to enter. Complete the last line of this jingle.
A fresher, brighter looking skin is something I would like to win. I'll get Palmolive soap today.
Write your last line on a plain sheet of paper or use an official entry blank giving complete rules obtainable at your dealers. Include your own and dealer's name and address and mail with the big word Palmolive from the front of the wrapper of one regular and one bath size cake of Palmolive soap to Palmolive, Box 92, New York 8, New York. Now here's the jingle once more.
A fresher, brighter looking skin is something I would like to win. I'll get Palmolive soap today.
Mail your entry to Palmolive, Box 92, New York 8, New York. Get Palmolive soap for a lovelier complexion. Remember, doctors prove Palmolive's beauty results.
I just had a tune-up job done in the car, Miss Brooks. Runs pretty smooth, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, Walter. What kind of a car was this? Is this?
A 1938 Hudson.
Certainly held together for the past 10 years.
So have you, Miss Brooks. Not that I'm comparing you with a car or anything, but, well, you're still so youthful. Nature's treated you extremely well. Why, you haven't even got any crow's feet.
Nature probably knows I can't afford shoes for them.
I don't like to keep bothering you with my personal problems, Miss Brooks, but could I once more?
Could you once more what, Walter?
Bother you with a personal problem. It's about a financial matter.
What kind of a financial matter?
A loan?
Are you asking me or telling me?
I'm telling you. I'm broke.
Really? How long have you been a school teacher?
Serious. I've just got to get some money somewhere. It isn't like it was for myself. I wouldn't even ask if it was for myself.
Who is it for?
It's for a friend of mine. He's an ice man, and his horse fell down the other day, and he's laid up in the barn now, and my friend hasn't been able to sell any ice.
Oh, that's too bad, Walter.
He doesn't know when the horse will be on his feet again, and he's just had a baby.
The horse?
No, the ice man.
Well, that's a switch.
His wife, see, and they haven't got enough money to buy milk to feed it. Well, let alone the other 7 children in the family, plus oats. Sad, Miss Brooks?
Saddest thing since Camille. How much do you want to borrow, Walter?
$5 would help a lot.
Okay, here you are.
Gosh, thanks. Are you sure you won't miss it?
No, I won't miss it, Walter. The people who sold me this coat may miss it, but I'll take care of that later.
Thanks again. You don't know what this money will do for these people. And you'll get it back just as soon as my friend's foot heals.
Your friend's foot? I thought it was the horse who fell.
The horse? Oh, sure. But didn't I tell you? When the horse fell, my friend tried to lift him up and sprained his own ankle.
Oh, great. Between his sick horse, sprained ankle, and having a baby, your friend is the busiest iceman I ever knew.
Well, we're right near school. Oh, gosh, I got so wound up talking about my poor friend, I forgot to stop and let you get some breakfast.
Well, after that story, Walter, I'd feel guilty eating anything but hay. I'll have an early lunch in the cafeteria.
Okay, Miss Brooks.
Well, here we are.
Thanks, Walter. Say, isn't that Harriet Conklin going up the steps?
Yeah, that's Harriet. Oh, you better hurry. She's anxious to talk to you.
How can you tell from the back of her neck?
I'm psychic about some things. Go ahead, Miss Brooks.
All right, Walter. See you later. Good morning, Harriet.
Oh, good morning, Miss Brooks. I'm so glad we bumped into each other before school starts. I've been very anxious to talk to you.
Walter is psychic at that, among other things. What did you want to talk to me about?
Well, it's rather embarrassing. Not that you're hard to talk to or anything, but, oh, golly, I just don't know how to say it now that we're face to face.
Well, we'd look pretty silly chatting back to back. To be the trouble.
Well, it's really not my trouble, Miss Brooks. It's just that I've got to get some financial assistance for a friend in need.
What friend, Harriet?
Well, it's a little boy I know. He comes from a very poor family, and in order to help his folks, he shines shoes after school. Now, he's got a little dog that helped him get his business started.
What did he do, put up the money?
No, Miss Brooks. He used to do tricks and attract customers. But just the other day, he fell down and hurt his foot. Now, the poor little dog can't even get downtown anymore.
Well, I can get him a lift downtown if he doesn't mind riding on a lame horse.
I don't understand.
Well, I don't either, but how much do you want to borrow?
Well, right after he was hurt, they took the little dog to a hospital, and the bill there was $8.
He must have had a semi-private room. Well, here's the $8, Harriet.
Oh, thank you, Miss Brooks. You sure you won't miss it?
No, I won't miss it. The people I owe the payment on my watch might miss it, but I'll take care of that later. Anyway, I still have enough left to pick up that bag at Justin's this afternoon.
You have? Oh, I mean, what bag?
A green alligator job that I've had my eye on for weeks.
Oh. Well, before you go to your room, Daddy would like you to stop in at his office.
Uh-oh, what have I done now?
Why should you think you've done something, Miss Brooks? Golly, just because Daddy's a principal is no reason for anybody to be afraid of him.
No, maybe you're right, Harriet.
Good morning.
Morning, Daddy. See you later, Miss Brooks.
Bye, Harriet.
Will you step into my office a moment, Miss Brooks?
Certainly, Mr. Conklin.
At ease. Have a chair.
Yes, sir.
As you know, I was a major in the last war.
Mm-hmm.
Spent almost 4 years in charge of the post exchange at Camp Bobrick, Ohio.
Stout fella.
Yes, although I've been returned to the arms of my loved ones for over 2 years now, I opened my last box of Hershey's in 46. I must confess there are aspects of military life which bear remembering.
Such as?
The camaraderie, esprit de corps. Don't you agree, Miss Brooks?
Oui, mon capitaine.
Now, you've been teaching at Madison High for over 5 years, haven't you?
That's right, Mr. Conklin. And in that time, I've had a lot of esprit de corps, but very few raises. I think the last one was way
now,
back
in... let's not talk shop, Miss Brooks. I realize that you haven't had a raise in some time, but after all, it's a universal complaint these days, and one which can't be remedied overnight. Meanwhile, you get by very nicely on the money you earn, don't you?
Well, speaking frankly...
That's the only way to speak, Miss Brooks. Now, if you don't mind, I'll come to the point. I've got to have some financial assistance for a friend of mine in distress.
Another one?
This poor chap was one of my GI assistants during the war. Just a corporal, but I recommended him for a War Department citation.
Really?
Yes. You never saw anyone fill a Coke machine like this lad. As for stacking Kleenex boxes... Oh! Well... After the war, he got married and started to raise a family. That was 3 years ago, but luck didn't favor this boy. He lost one job after another. Things went from bad to worse.
You mean he became a teacher?
No laughing matter, Miss Brooks. He's just written me that his wife is going to have another baby. Therefore.
In 3 years?
There's a set of twins. In any event, he's desperate. He can't even afford a hospital room for his wife.
Well, I know where there's a semi-private room if she doesn't mind dogs. I mean, how much would you like to borrow, Mr. Conklin?
Well, I've asked many of my friends for $5 or $10.
I see. Well, I guess.
But
that.
You're such an old friend, Miss Brooks, I feel that I can ask you for $15.
Before our friendship gets any older, here's the $15.
You're sure you won't miss it?
No, I won't miss it. The people I owe a repair bill on my car might miss it, but I'll take care of that later.
Very well. That'll be all then. Dismissed.
Excuse me, Miss Brooks, but may I sit at this table with you? The school cafeteria is pretty crowded today.
Oh, sit down, Mr. Boynton. You'll forgive me if I go ahead with my lunch.
Oh, of course.
I want to eat this salad while it's still warm.
There's something I'd like to talk to you about.
Yes, Mr. Boynton?
I've heard from many people how generous and warm-hearted you are under your veneer of seeming sophistication. Of course, I've always known that you're true blue, a 100% human being, deep down below the surface.
Why, Mr. Boynton, you've been peeking at my x-rays.
Serious. I know that I can appeal to you for assistance without fear of embarrassment. And I know when you hear my story, you'll want to help.
Et tu, Boynton? Well, what's your story?
Well, I have this friend who's also a biologist.
From a poor family?
No, his family's very wealthy, as a matter of fact.
But he's married and has 7 children and 1 on the way.
No, he's a single chap.
But he's got a bad sickness.
No, no, he's in the pink of condition.
Oh, wait a minute, I know. His little puppy broke its leg.
Oh, he hasn't any puppy, but his Great Dane just won a blue ribbon.
Wrong again. But give that lady a box of Red Heart and two tickets to next week's flea circus. Look, Mr. Boynton, I'll bet your friend's horse is so lame he can't even ride him to work,
Well, my friend drives a Cadillac. Look, if you'll just let me finish, I'll be as brief as possible. You see, he's leaving town. He's got about 30 white mice and frogs that he wants to give me.
Oh, so that's it. They're sick.
Oh, no, not at all. They're wonderful specimens.
But they're orphans.
Please, Miss Brooks, what I'm trying to tell you is that I'll need about $20 for the added equipment it'll require to house them.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so? Here, Mr. Boynton, here's $18. It's all I have left. Let a couple of the mice double up.
Thank you, Miss Brooks. I certainly appreciate this, but are you sure you won't miss it?
No, I won't miss it. The people I owe the payments on my car, watch, and coat might miss it, but I'll take care of that later. There's only one thing that's not going to be put off, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, what's that?
A green alligator bag I've got my deep down underneath little warm heart set on. My first stop after school will be the nearest bank that lends money.
Attention, quiet, please.
Now then, Harriet, it was your idea to have this surprise party for Miss Brooks. Suppose you outline the plan.
All right, Daddy. First of all, did we all borrow enough from Miss Brooks to keep her from getting that bag she wants?
Mrs. Davis and I took $5 each from her.
I nailed her for a... I appropriated 15.
And she loaned me $18.
Good for you, Mr. Boynton.
I'm afraid it's not good enough, Mr. Conklin. She told me at lunch she was going to the bank and borrow the money for the bag.
Oh, golly, that'll spoil everything.
I know. Why don't we call the store and tell them under no circumstances to sell her that bag? Tell them we're buying it.
Excellent, Walter. It's a wonder that that agile mind of yours doesn't function quite so efficaciously in the schoolroom.
Gosh, thanks, Mr. Conklin.
To the store, pick up the bag, and take it home. Now, who'll get Miss Brooks and bring her over to our house?
Oh, I will. I'll call for her at about 5 o'clock and bring her over to your house at 6.
Fine. Now, synchronize watches, everybody.
Let's see. Confidential loan department. This is it. Pardon me, I've read your ad, but I'd still like to be assured that any business we transact will be strictly confidential.
You may be quite certain of that, miss.
What?
I said we treat all our transactions with the utmost secrecy.
Well, you can let me in on it. I'd like to borrow about $35.
Yes, ma'am. What is your occupation, please?
I'm a school teacher.
How long have you been teaching, and at what school, please?
5 years at Madison High. And how do you sound when you've got laryngitis?
Very comical. We'll write your name and address down, and I'll get you the money.
Is that all there is to it?
Yes, we don't believe in a lot of red tape.
Oh.
All you have to do is sign a few papers. First here.
Yes.
Now here.
Right.
Now this one.
There you are.
Now here.
Mm-hmm.
And here.
Again.
And this one.
Yes.
Now we'll start on the second page. Here.
Yes.
And here.
Mm-hmm.
And here.
Mm-hmm.
And here. And here. And here.
It's Miss Brooks. I'd like to see an item your department has been featuring in your window display.
What item is that, Miss Brooks?
It's a green alligator.
What?
A green alligator. I've seen it in your window every day for weeks now.
Have you ever heard of Alcoholics Anonymous?
Do you mean to tell me you don't know what I'm talking about?
Oh, not at all, Miss Brooks. You know you don't know what you're talking about, don't you?
Or do you?
Of course I do. Let's start all over again. There's a purse made of green alligator skin that's been in your window.
That thing. Oh, you wouldn't want to own that. Why, it wouldn't do a thing for you.
It wouldn't have to. I've got a job. May I see it, please?
please.
Funny thing about that model, I sold the last one not a half hour ago to, Miss H. Conklin, I believe.
Well, couldn't you get one just like it if I... H. Conklin? That's Harriet. Why, that little demon. Maybe if I get her another bag, she'll trade me the green one. No, she wears a lot of green. Besides, she has alligator shoes, too. Well, I might as well go over to her house and see what I can do, anyway.
I didn't mean to eavesdrop on your monologue. But, H. Conklin won't be home for a while. She said she had a lot of shopping to do. And then she's going to get a manicure at Antoine's.
Well, I'll go to her house and wait. Thank you, and good day, J. Edgar Hoover. Mrs. Conklin, is Harriet at home?
Why, no, Miss Brooks. She's out doing some last-minute shopping for the... Miss Brooks! Isn't it terribly early? I mean, with the days getting shorter all the time, it seems like about 5 o'clock.
It is 5 o'clock. May I come in, Mrs. Conklin?
Oh, of course.
Who's that at the door, Martha? Oh, it's you, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Mr. Conklin.
Martha, did Harriet get back with all... Miss Brooks! Isn't it a little early? I mean, it only seems like 5 o'clock.
5:01.
Here in the living room a minute, Miss Brooks. Osgood, I'd like to talk to you.
Yes, yes. Will you excuse us, please, Miss Brooks?
Surely.
What happened? Why did you so early? Well, I don't know what it was.
I don't know, but
somebody must have flipped off. That's all I say.
I wonder if they've had a confidential loan lately.
Walter.
Hello, Mrs. Conklin. I got all this stuff. Funny hats, noisemakers, confetti, and streamers. Oh, come on in the living room and we'll start decorating the place.
But Walter, look who's here, Walter.
Hi, Miss Brooks.
Hi, Walter.
Now we'll take the streamers and we'll start in this corner of the room and we'll... Miss Brooks!
When you hear the tone, the time will be 5:02.
This one's on me. Oh, hello, Mr. Conklin. I was just over to Mrs. Davis's house, but you...
Say no more, Boynton. Come into the living room.
Hello, Mr. Boynton.
Hi.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Conklin. Walter.
Hello, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, hello, Miss Brooks. As I started to say, Mr. Conklin, I went over to Mrs. Davis's to pick up Miss Brooks, but she... Miss Brooks!
I know I'm terribly early, but I wish I knew for what.
I'll answer it. Must be Harriet. Hello, dear. Mrs. Davis. Come in, won't you?
I got the bag, Mother, and I had it gift wrapped. Oh, it looks just super.
I brought the cake, Martha. Well, hello, everybody.
Hello, Mrs. Davis. Harriet.
Hello, Miss Brooks. Well, there's nothing else that we can do now but wait. Miss Brooks!
Somebody says Miss Brooks once more. I'm going to change my name to Lucy Pumpernickel.
Cat's out of the bag now. We might as well tell her. Miss Brooks, this little gathering is in honor of your birthday.
My birthday? How do you like that? I forgot it again.
Miss Brooks, as a token of our esteem and affection, may we present you with this little gift.
Go on, Miss Brooks, open it.
The gift is something you've wanted for a long time, Connie.
Oh, the green alligator bag. So that's why everybody borrowed money from me today.
That's right. We didn't want you to get it for yourself.
Well, this is certainly the nicest present anybody ever bought me, with or without my money.
Oh, we didn't get this with your money, Miss Brooks. Look inside the purse.
What? Oh, what's this? 5, 10, 20? It's all here.
That's right, Miss Brooks. Well, now that we all know it's your birthday, suppose you tell us how old you are.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, our Miss Brooks. Happy birthday to you.
Eve Arden as our Miss Brooks returns in just one moment, but first...
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight, you can see this come true, revealed by a luster cream shampoo. You'll see your hair lovelier, your wave or curls softer, more glamorous, easy to do quickly. Even in hardest water, luster cream shampoo leaves hair three ways lovelier. fragrantly clean, easier to manage, brilliant with sheen. Don't wait. Tonight, use Luster Cream Shampoo. Not a soap, not a liquid, but a dainty magical cream. Discover why it's by far the top favorite cream shampoo. Get the big jar, $1. Smaller sizes, either tubes or jars. Tonight, you can be a
dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream Girl. You owe your crowning glory to a Luster Cream Shampoo.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
So, you see, I won't need the $35 I borrowed from you people yesterday. Here it is.
Fine. The interest is practically nothing.
Oh, that's nice. May I have a receipt, please?
Of course.
Just sign here.
Yes.
And here.
Yes.
And here.
Yes.
And here.
Yes.
And here.
Your beauty hope and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous dream girl hair. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written and directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch. For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North. Tune in Tuesday evenings over most of these same stations. And be with us again next week at the same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamond speaking for CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And that was our Miss Brooks from 1948. You've been listening to another edition of Radio Now and Then. I've been your host, Bob Drake. But before I head for the door, I'd like to mention a couple of things. One, we're still on iTunes, so if you have a way of listening that way, please do so. Two, we're going to start podcasting. That way you can download and listen to the show at your convenience. But we need to know what shows you want us to start with. So you need to get your list to us as quickly as possible by emailing radioent@gmail.com. Once again, that's radioent@gmail.com. Until the next time, 6 days and 23 hours from now, this is Bob Drake saying adios, sayonara, and have a good day. And if anyone asks you, why do you listen to so much radio, simply tell them.
Well, I don't know what radio's coming to, but I know where it's been.
And that is Bob Drake of Radio Now and Then, a program you can hear every Sunday. Check the schedule at oldtimeradiolisten.com on the blog page. Now let's listen to Jack Benny.
The Jell-O program, coming to you from the Marine Corps base in San Diego, brought to you by Jell-O and Jell-O Puddings, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, Rochester, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Call Out the Marines.
Have you noticed how extra rich Jell-O is today, now that Jell-O's wonderful flavor is locked in? Well, there's never been anything like it, just never been anything more delicious. Locking in Jell-O's flavor heightens its goodness, brings it to a new peak of delight. Now, more than ever, Jell-O's shimmering color and beauty hold a promise of rich enjoyment, a promise that is gloriously fulfilled in Jell-O's bright, refreshing flavor, flavor so thrillingly good that it makes you think right away of the juicy, ripe fruit itself. Let your next package of Jell-O prove to you the extra richness of Jell-O's locked-in flavor. Open a package of Jell-O. Notice that there's no sweet, fruity odor, no telltale aroma to warn of escaping flavor. Then dissolve the tiny Jell-O particles and notice the way Jell-O's captive goodness comes pouring out with a rush of rich, tangy fragrance and flavor. Ask your grocer tomorrow for several packages of Jell-O and see if you don't agree that Jell-O is better than ever. Now the Jell-O's famous flavor is locked in.
That was was Call Out the Marines, played by the orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as I announced before, our program this evening comes to you from the United States Marine Corps base in San Diego.
Yes, sir.
The Marines who sail the seven seas on our battleships and cruisers, who pitch their tents in the blazing heat of tropical jungles or face the wintry winds of the far north.
You said it.
So, without further ado, we bring you a man who thinks Marine is something to drop in your eyes, Jack Benny.
That's murine. I know the difference. Anyhow, hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And, Don, that was a beautiful tribute you just gave to the Marines. They're a swell bunch of fellas, and they deserve it.
They certainly do. By the way, Jack, during the First World War, you were a Marine yourself, weren't you?
Me? No. Forget it, Don. Anyway, it sure is great.
Well, now, Jack, I'm sure these boys here are interested in your military record. Did you serve in the artillery?
No.
The infantry?
With my feet? Are you kidding? Forget it, Don. Forget it.
No. I'd like to find out. Which branch of the service were you in?
Come here, Don. I'll whisper it to you. Don, I enlisted in the for 3 years.
Oh, you were a sailor.
Quiet! Don, for heaven's sake, I want to be friends with these boys. God.
Oh, now there's no need of getting upset, Jack. Nowadays, sailors and Marines are the best of friends. Why, they're pals.
Pals, eh? Well, years ago when I was in the service, they weren't quite so chummy. I'll never forget one time when I was at the Great Lakes Naval Training Station. You know, I was in love with a girl, and so was this Marine, about 6'2".
Your girl?
No, the Marine. My girl was only 6 foot. That is, in her bare feet. Well, anyway...
Oh, didn't she wear shoes?
No, this was in the summertime. We both came up to this girl's front door one night, and the Marine said to me, where do you think you're going, tight pants? So I said, I'm going to see Eva. That was the girl's name, Eva Slatko. So this Marine said to me, oh, you are, eh? And I said, yeah, you want to make something out of it?
And what happened?
What was that?
What happened?
Oh, the next morning I had 3 teeth put back in and I haven't seen the guy since. I'm sorry, Don, I missed my place there for a minute. But as you say, Don, there's no reason why sailors and leathernecks shouldn't get along together. They're all fighting for the same cause. And after all... Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Hi, boys.
Well, Mary, here we are in San Diego.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. The next time I come down here, it won't be in that Maxwell of yours. What a trip.
What's the matter with you?
I'm so black and blue, you think I went dancing at the Paris Inn last night.
Paris Inn? Oh, a dining and dancing spot, eh?
Dining, dancing, and raffling.
Well, I must go over there later.
So you had a pretty tough ride in the Maxwell, huh, Mary?
Don, it would have been a very pleasant trip if we hadn't had that blowout at San Clemente.
The blowout was at Laguna Beach. We came down in San Clemente.
All right, for 10 minutes, we were unidentified aircraft. All we had was a blowout.
And that silly experiment of yours, that's what held us up.
Mary, that experiment may not have worked, but it's ideas like that that the government wants nowadays.
What was it, Mary?
Oh.
Well, Jack didn't have a spare, so he bought 1,000 packages of gum and told Rochester to chew them into a tire.
Listen, if it had worked, I'd be famous. Well, look who's here. Goldilocks and his three curls. Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. Here I am, man. Tear down the roof.
Thank you. Now I'm happy.
Then stop bowing.
Well, I'm thrilled, Jackson. It's sure great to be down here entertaining all these leatherheads. They're leather necks. You're the leatherhead. However, I must say, I can't understand how I made that mistake before. However, I must say you got here on time for a change. Did you just blow into town, Phil?
No, we got in last night, and then Frankie, my guitar player, and me went down to Tijuana.
Tijuana, eh?
You know, on a Goodwill tour.
I'll bet. May I inquire what you boys were drinking?
A little Mexican buttermilk. Tequila, they call it.
Tequila? Say, I hear that's pretty strong stuff.
You ought to try it sometime, Jackson. First you swallow a glass of it, and then you chew on a lemon.
I see.
And after the fourth drink, if you ain't got a lemon, just chew your glass. It don't make no difference.
Well, that stuff must pack a wallop.
Yeah, and on our way home, we were hit by lightning, and we bent it.
Oh, stop dreaming it up. Well, Phil, now that we've heard about your adventures in Tijuana, how about playing a band number for the boys?
Okay, Jackson.
And play something nice, will you? Hold it a minute. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
I was wondering, would you like to join the Marines?
Yes, I would.
Well, join us. We're going to the Paris Inn tonight.
Get out of here! Silly guy. Gee, I wish I could join the Marines, though. They're a red-blooded organization.
They wouldn't give you any, whether you join or not.
I don't want any. Play, Phil. I can't understand how I made a mistake on that first spot. I don't know what happened to my script, you know? I can't understand how I made that mistake. Oh, well. That was He's 1A in the Army and A1 in my heart, played by Phil Harris and his internationally famous orchestra. Internationally famous meaning they're as well known in Tijuana as they are in San Diego. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Tijuana, they love me there.
Isn't it amazing? You can't insult the guy. How I made that mistake. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Hey, Jack, can I read my poem now?
Mary, I told you that you can't do any more of your silly poem.
Oh, Mr. Benny, here I am.
Oh, hello, Dennis. Curtsy. Well, our little gang is all assembled.
Hey, is Joan Bennett here yet?
Quiet. That's our surprise. What a kid. Well, Dennis, are you enjoying yourself here in San Diego?
I sure am. I went to Balboa Park this morning, and what a zoo they got there. What a zoo!
You had fun, eh?
Yeah, and you know what, Mr. Benny?
What?
I saw a baboon there that looked exactly like Fred Allen.
Like... Like Fred Allen, eh? That's a good one. He has got long arms, you know. What was the baboon doing, Dennis?
He was picking fleas off another one that resembled you somewhat.
What do you mean?
Here's a peanut, Jack. Catch.
Thanks. Now cut that out. Say, I must go over and take a look at that baboon that looks like me. I've never seen one with big blue eyes. It must be quite a novelty.
What else you see there, Dennis?
Well, I saw lions and tigers and elephants, and then I saw a great big dinosaur.
Dennis, that's impossible. You couldn't have seen a dinosaur.
Of course not. She's in New York with Eddie Cantor.
That's dinosaur! Phil, that you're thinking of Dinah Shore.
Can I read my poem now?
Not now, Mary. I'm leading up to something. All right, Don. Dinah Shore.
Oh, Jack, this one is utterly fantastic.
Don, I won't go through this every week. Dinah Shore.
But, Jack, people are beginning to talk. Everybody says, there goes that goofy Wilson.
I don't want to hear another word about it. Now, go ahead. Dinah Shore.
Oh, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, the next time you have dinner, be sure to serve Jell-O for dessert. Because whether you dine at sea or dine ashore...
Wonderful.
You will find that Jell-O with its new locked-in flavor is America's favorite gelatin dessert. I'm sorry, Dinah.
Well, personally, Don, I thought it was very, very clever.
Too very, Jeff.
It's worth it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Dennis Day, our tenor, will say...
Wait a minute. I'm going to read my poem to these boys.
Oh, my goodness. Well, they can take it. That's one thing. What's the title of your poem, Mary?
Tell it to the Marines, but don't get tough about it.
Hey, you got something there. Proceed.
I salute all you Marines, old and young and in between. And I really think you're tops. You're just the guys to stop the jops.
Jops, you mean Japs.
Japs, Jops. Knock the sukiyaki out of them.
Right. Continue.
You fellas fight on land or sea, in the air, up a tree.
They can fight anywhere.
And when you boys get liberty, you slug it out over girls like me.
Well, that keeps them in condition, I suppose. Go ahead.
I've gone with boys from Georgia Tech and Yale and Harvard by the peck. But here's one thing I'll say by heck. I'd rather neck a leather neck. Yes.
Ah, very good, Mary. You know, Mary, I'm... Gee, they're wonderful here, aren't they? You know, Mary, I'm sorry I tried to keep you from reading that poem because this one was really okay. It really was. Come in. Well, who's this?
It's a Marine.
I know it's a Marine, but who? Hello there.
Hello, tight pants. I'm glad to see you again.
Yeah, glad to see you again.
Well, who is it, Jack?
I don't know. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Glad to see you.
What do you have in the old gang?
Oh, you know, same old gang, like you said. You know how it is.
Well, who is he?
I'm trying to find out. What are you doing here?
I'm still in the service. By the way, I see you got those three teeth put back in.
Three teeth?
Oh, hey, wait a minute. You're...
Remember Eva Slutko?
Yeah, that's it. You're Bullface Hurley. Say, do you ever see Eva anymore?
How can I help it? We married and got 4 kids.
4 kids. Well, what do you know? Well, sit down. We'll talk things over. Go ahead with your song, Dennis.
Okay.
Say, Bullface, remember the time I caught you and Eva dancing at the Y and I socked you right in the jaw?
You hit Eva.
I did. I was running so fast, I didn't look back. But I'll never forget the time when I took out Eva to Brown's Lake and the canoe tipped over.
There's no mountain top so high that somehow love can climb. No, no, true love will find a way. There's no river quite so wide that love can cross in time. Please believe me when I say you are always in my heart, even though you're far away. I can hear the music of the song of love I sang with you. You are always in my heart, and when skies above are gray, I remember that you care, and then and there the sun breaks through. Just before I go to sleep, there's a rendezvous I keep, and the dream I always meet helps me forget we're far apart. I don't know exactly when, dear, but I'm sure we'll meet again, dear. And my darling, till we do, you are always in my heart. Just before I go to sleep, there's a rendezvous I keep, and the dream I always meet helps me forget where far apart. I don't know exactly when, but I'm sure we'll meet again. My darling, till we do, you are always in my heart.
Well, 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 that sure is good news, Bullface. So you named one of your boys after me, eh?
Yeah, he was kind of a puny kid.
Well, it's good seeing you again, Bull. Say hello to Eva for me.
I will. So long, tight pants.
So long. So they finally got married. Gee, Eva was a cute gal. I wonder if she ever got shoes. I suppose so. Anyway, that was Always in My Heart, sung by Dennis Day.
And dedicated to Miss Joan Bennett. Where is she?
Well, she ought to be here any minute, Dennis.
Well, I hope so. A man can stand just so much, you know.
What are you talking about?
Well, Miss Bennett and I got to be pretty good friends on the way down here. Pretty good friends.
Dennis, the only reason Miss Bennett sat on your lap is because the car was crowded. Say, I wonder what is keeping Joan.
I doubt if she shows up at all after that trip in the Maxwell.
She'll be here, don't worry.
Imagine asking Joan Bennett to ride down here in that broken-down jalopy. She's a big movie star.
Well, what am I, a manhole cover? Huh?
You got about as much hair as one.
All right, I'm a manhole cover. And remember that on payday because I won't be able to sign your check. You keep that up, Miss Livingston. Well, here she is, fellas. Come on in, Joan. We've been waiting for you.
Hello, Jack. Hello, everybody.
There, you see, Mary? She's here and she looks wonderful.
Well, Joan, I was a little worried about you. How do you feel after your ride down here in my Maxwell?
How do I feel? Now I know what a mold of milk goes through.
Well, you see, you're a little light, Joan. I'll tell you what. On the way back, I'll let Dennis sit on your lap.
Put Don Wilson there. That'll do the trick.
Okay, anything you want, Joan.
Oh, boy, ain't she a dish.
Dennis! Dennis, behave yourself.
Leave him alone, Jack. You were young once yourself.
And I still am, Joni. I still am.
He takes a little vitamin B and he wants to skip rope.
Oh, sure. Say, Joan, you remember Phil Harris, don't you?
Why, certainly. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Joan. Ever hear Alice say she's my wife?
Phil, what a guy. Well, Joan, this is certainly like old times, isn't it? You and I working together again.
Yes, Jack, it's been over 3 years now. Remember that picture we made called Artists and Models Abroad?
Do I? I'll never forget it. And, Joan, I've got a confession to make. Now, you didn't know it at the time, but you were the first leading lady I ever kissed.
What do you mean I didn't know it?
What?
You should have seen him, Mary. He was so nervous he missed my upper lip entirely.
Well, I did pretty good considering I had my eyes closed.
That would never happen with me, sister.
Dennis, pipe down. Say, Joan, I've been wondering. I've thought of this often. Why is it you and I have never made another picture together?
Jack, you asked me that a dozen times on the way down here, and I told you.
But, Joan, I don't eat salami anymore. Honest, I don't.
Well, I'm glad of that. And I'll say one thing for you, Jack. Your acting has improved.
Well, I hit both lips now, if that's what you mean. Yes, ma'am.
Not only that, but I saw your picture the other night, and I just couldn't believe that Jack Benny was playing Hamlet.
That was me, all right. To be or not to be? That is the question.
Someone give him the answer. He does this every 5 minutes.
Mary. So you liked me as Hamlet, eh, Joan?
I certainly did. And what amazed me, Jack, was the way you looked in tight. Your legs were simply gorgeous.
Oh, you're just saying that. Heavens to Betsy. My legs gorgeous.
They really are. Why, everybody in Hollywood is saying they're even prettier than Betty Grable.
Prettier than Betty... Oh, so that's why she's been snubbing me lately. Now I get a jealousy. Well, Joan, getting back to me... Excuse me a minute. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
Oh, hello, Rochester. Pardon me, Joan. I'll be with you in a minute. Hello, Rochester. What do you want?
I got the Maxwell all gassed up and everything. What time tomorrow morning are we going to take off?
Well, we're leaving the hotel at 7 a.m. sharp.
But, boss, I won't be getting in till 8:30.
Getting in? Now, wait a minute, Rochester. I let you go to a party last night. You don't have to go to another party tonight.
Well, this is the same one.
Same one.
Only we're switching from gin to Mexican buttermilk.
Oh, I see.
You know, they got a regular little Harlem down here.
I don't care. We're leaving tomorrow morning promptly at 7. I don't want to hear another word about it.
But, Mr. Benny. I'm asking him now, honey. But, Mr. Benny.
Just a second, Rochester. Who did you just say honey to?
Me?
Yes, you. Who is Honey?
He's a cousin of mine, boss. Honeydew Van Jones.
What?
Junior.
Rochester, you're not telling me the truth. You're at a party and you were talking to a girl.
And if I don't stop talking to you, I'm a loser. The wolves are closing in.
Rochester, sometimes I can't understand you. You've got a girl in Los Angeles, haven't you?
Uh-huh.
For 2 years now, you've been going steady together.
Uh-huh.
Well, then let me ask you something. Did you ever hear of Fidelity?
Oh, yeah, that's an insurance company, ain't it?
I don't mean that. I mean you should be true to one girl.
Oh, Bob, reconsider.
Well, I'm not going to argue any more about it. I want you to be at the El Cortez Hotel at 7 a.m. So long.
So long. Will I try it, honey?
I have more trouble with that guy. Always wants his own way.
Pardon me, Jack.
Yes, Joan.
Did I understand you to say that you're driving back tomorrow at 7 a.m.?
Yes, I'll have to pick you up bright and early.
Well, bring along a first aid kit. I might snap at you.
Good, good. And, Joan, I do want to thank you for coming down here and helping entertain these Marines.
I love doing it.
And, incidentally, our program is being sent every week by delayed shortwave to our armed forces everywhere.
It is? Well, then, Jack, if I promise to ride back with you in your Maxwell, will you do me a favor?
Why, certainly. What is it?
May I say hello to General MacArthur and his men?
Of course.
Hello, General. Keep up the good work. But who has to tell you?
You said it. Play, Phil.
Make dinner tomorrow night something really out of the ordinary by serving the family this swell Jell-O treat.
It's Cardinal Pear Mold, rich, juicy pears embedded in a shimmering mold of bright red raspberry Jell-O. Nothing could be more tempting to the eye or more delightful to the taste than this grand Jell-O dessert. And nothing could be easier to make. Now here's all you do. Simply dissolve one package of Jell-O imitation raspberry flavor in a pint of hot water. Add 1/8 teaspoon of powdered ginger. Turn into mold. Chill until firm. Unmold and garnish with sections of canned pears. You'll say that it's one of the most delicious, mouth-watering desserts that ever came your way. A dessert that you'll love from the first spoonful to the last. So tomorrow, when you make up this tempting combination of juicy canned pears and beautiful red raspberry Jell-O, remember, Jell-O today is extra rich thanks to the Jell-O's new locked-in flavor.
Thanks again, Joan Bennett, and good night, folks.
Bill Maher and Ed Beline. The fact that this show was broadcast in the Marine base does not constitute an endorsement of the product advertised by the War Department.
That's all the time we have for this week. We'll be back next week with more great old-time radio here on the Radio Theater Channel.